From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Bloch.
Haven't you wished for unfillable containers that wouldn't break?
It turned out that many American women of the 1950s did share that wish, and a new plastic product was there to satisfy them with the famous Tupper Seal.
There. Did you hear it?
Tupperware was invented by Earl Silas Tupper just after World War II, but it was a woman named Brownie Wise who turned Tupperware into a true household name. Brownie Wise grew up in rural Georgia, never made it past eighth grade, but as the new documentary film Tupperware makes clear, she had a gift for marketing. The movie's producer and director, Laurie Kahn-Levitt, explains how Brownie Wise got her start selling Stanley home products, brushes, vacuums, pots and pans, at home parties.
Then she sees Tupperware, and she thinks, wow, now this stuff should be sold at home parties, and starts selling Tupperware on her own, and is doing quite well. And one day she calls the factory to complain that her order is late again. She's really frustrated. And very much like Brownie, she insists upon speaking to Mr. Tupper himself, gets him on the phone, and chews him out. And he says, what in the world are you doing? I mean, you're selling more than all the department stores. And she says, home parties. You should only sell this stuff at home parties. Pull it out of the department stores. Pull it out of the hardware stores. And this is a guy who didn't listen to people very often, but he listened in Florida, Massachusetts. They hit it off, and he hires her to head up the entire sales operation.
And part of what she does is create this almost cult of personality, it sounds like, where she's recruiting all these women around the country to sell Tupperware, and they are intrigued by just who Brownie is herself, what she looks like. They want to look just like her.
Yeah, Brownie, if you look at the old pictures of Brownie and the old footage of Brownie, even though she grew up with nothing, she had an amazing sense of style. And so she was the sort of model, and she put forth her story, sort of, I came from nowhere and you can too. And what she was offering wasn't just her elegance, but an opportunity for these working class women who many of them had worked in factories or at five and tens and really had sort of dead end lives. And Brownie's saying, look, you can do what I did and you can get involved in this business and you can work part time, you can control your own hours, and you can work out of your house and it doesn't threaten your husband.
You have in your movie a clip of her. This is sort of a recruiting pitch that she would make to people to try to get other people to sell Tupperware. Let's listen to some of that.
Hello, this is Brownie.
Will you do yourself and someone else a big favor? Take a little extra time this week and call back on some of the people that you've talked to about being a Tupperware dealer.
Spreading the message.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, that came from a little plastic record, bright red record, and Brownie would send these out to all of the salespeople with sort of pep talk, sort of encouraging people and giving them ideas and pointers and tips. And she also traveled 150,000 miles a year to go out and visit her growing sales force, her growing army of Tupperware ladies.
She decides that the headquarters for Tupperware sales should be outside Orlando, and she creates this sort of fantasy land down there. You interview one of the Tupperware distributors about this, Mary Siriani. Let's listen to how she describes it.
Rara was Florida. This is motivation time. Rara, let's really get up there. Let's think of the next promotion. Rise and shine. Rudy Toot Toot. Who are you going to recruit? All of this stuff. They were the razzmatazz.
It becomes sort of a carnival down there.
Yeah. I mean, what's amazing about this is that Earl Tupper continues to design and manufacture all of the products up in New England. And his is a very buttoned-down, macho, kind of engineer-driven, perfectionist operation. And you've got this other culture down in Florida run by Brownie Wise, which couldn't be more different. It's extravagant. It's over the top. It's anything goes. And it's being run by Brownie and this bunch of people on her staff, none of whom have been to business school, none of whom have even been to college. And they're winging it. They're just improvising as they go, saying, hey, what's going to work? You know, how about this? No, bigger. Let's do it bigger. Yeah. And they had this homecoming jubilee once a year. And every year there was a theme for it. The very first one was the gold rush. So what do? They say, okay, they bury prizes in the piece of property in front of company headquarters. They bury the prizes, of course, in Tupperware. And they put shovels over each prize. And the very top salespeople sort of line up and they go, okay, now you can go. And the women all sort of rush out and grab a shovel and start digging. And they dig until they hit a box and they open it up. And inside are, you know, mink coats and diamond rings and double boilers. I mean, you know, it was sort of over the top, but in a wonderful, zany, kind of fun and innocent way.
There's an interesting gender dynamic here. At the same time that all these women are getting empowered and making money at home, and Brownie Wise herself is hugely famous. She's the first woman on the cover of Business Week magazine. She's the official face of Tupperware, but there's no one in the top management around her who is female. It's all men.
It's very interesting. I mean, some people said Brownie just wanted to be the queen bee. I mean, she surrounded herself with guys because she really wanted to be the center of attention. And she says at one point, if there's going to be a prima donna in this company, there's only going to be one and it's going to be me. But I think the bigger reason, or equally big reason, is that it was a different world. And Brownie was a realist. And she knew that back in the 50s, bankers didn't want to lend to women. I mean, she surrounded herself with guys for a reason.
She's with the company from 1951 to 1958. Sales have grown to $100 million a year, and all of a sudden, she's fired by Earl Tupper. What happened?
It's an incredible story. I mean, when Earl first hires Brownie, he goes to a fancy Madison Avenue public relations firm, and they tell him, you know, you've got three things going for you. You've got this really good product, and you've got a really quite wonderful marketing scheme. But a charismatic female executive is totally unique. That's what we want to run with and make the peg for the story. And it works. And Brownie is a phenomenon. And they start giving her all the credit for the success of the company. And it really gets under Earl's skin. And their relationship sort of spirals out of control and implodes, and neither of them ever succeeds again. But the women who Brownie has brought into the business, they realize that they can carry on without her. And they go on to take on the world. I mean, they open up. The women who I interviewed, who'd never been out of their little hometowns, who'd never been out of their home state before they get into Tupperware, these very same women open up Tupperware India, Tupperware Peru, Tupperware Guatemala, Tupperware Australia. It's amazing.
Lori Conn-Levitt, thanks very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Lori Conn-Levitt's film Tupperware airs tonight on PBS as part of their history series American Experience. There are photos and video from the early days of Tupperware at our website, npr.org. This is All Things Considered from NPR News.